This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't know about y'all, but I actually feel like I'm walking on broken glass because Matt Gaetz is going to become Attorney General. Thank you, Cardi. You are freaking awesome. Folks, if you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842, and you will hear the smooth, dulcet tones of the newest member of the Maggie Dawn Show team. His name is Cardi. Tell him you say hello. Broken glass, more like eating broken glass. Matt Gaetz as Attorney General? Mr. Spock, if you don't know what I'm talking about, check out Matt Gaetz from the RNC. He overdid the Botox. You mean the guy that was paying maybe underaged hookers on Venmo and it was public? Yeah, Cardi is right. That Matt Gaetz? Ugh. I mean, he's one of those dudes, if we're all being real honest here, and I think we should be, because Civic Media is all about real news and great conversation. Being real honest, Matt Gaetz is exactly the kind of guy that, like, the instant you meet him, you're like, ugh, he gives you the icks. Like, that is Matt Gaetz. You spend as little time with him as possible. Okay, here's a question for y'all. Let's think about some elected representatives, Dems too, we can count them as well. It doesn't have to just be Republicans, that you think give you the immediate icks, because I got another one. It pops immediately to mind. Cardi, you can always pipe in as well.
Oh, Donald Trump.
Trump himself for reals, 100% on that. Matt Gaetz, clearly the icks. DJT, Donald J. Trump, 100% the icks.
Marco Rubio.
I'm going to also go with a little bit of Ted Cruz. Like, Ted Cruz is an icky dude. Once called Lucifer in the flesh by former Speaker of the House, John Boehner. When your own team captain is calling you Lucifer in the flesh, it's got to be rough. It's got to be rough. But folks, I've been wanting to get to this next topic. Ooh, Michaela from West Bend, J.D. Vance. Yes, also the icks, y'all. If you've got an elected official, Dems too, they can count. 855-752-4842. Who gives you the icks? Right now, the leaderboard reads Donald J. Trump. Let's go with J.D. Vance. Jim Jordan coming in on the text line. That's a good one. Ted Cruz. And, of course, Matt Gaetz. Oh, my gosh. Nosoftral, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Nosoftral, like the vampiric Rudy Giuliani. Stephen Miller, ooh, he's a big icky dude. Speaking of the undead, yes, Stephen Miller. Oh, Tom from Jackson. Scott Walker and his Elmer Fudd ears definitely has a little bit of an ew vibe to him. I'm going to go with that. Listen, Carter, you got to keep a list of all. We're going to have like the ick top 10 leaderboard. We're going to figure out how to put something on the website so you can vote, because there are so many that give us the X. Michaela also rolling in on Scott Walker. She had to serve him hot ham and rolls once. Big ick. Michaela, you have my sympathies, my friend. Glenn Grothman. Maybe I'll just abandon the rest of the show and all we'll do is talk about elected officials that give you the icks. I'm going to throw in a little Ron Johnson there. Little Ron Johnson, very icky. Speaking of news of the day, Ron Johnson always seems to stick his head into the news. If you missed it earlier today, the GOP has selected Senator John Thune to be the leader of the Senate. And this was a little bit of a like slight, not quite doing what the MAGAverse wanted them to, because the front runner of butt kissers to DJT in the race to be the Senate Majority Leader was Rick Scott from Florida, And that's who most of the MAGAverse was supporting. And of course, Rojo weighed in and I'm supporting Rick Scott because there's no daylight between me and Donald Trump. I'll engage in insurrection, perhaps commit some felonies because Donald J. Trump is the man. By the way, you can cure COVID with mouthwash. I mean, that's Ron Johnson, right? My goodness. Oh, Wes from Middleton, Eric Hovde in his stash. Yeah, like I think just in general, the mustache gives you immediate icks. Like that just, it gets you right there. And Glenn Grothman definitely gives you the icks because he feels like he still lives in his mom's basement. Like the guy doesn't get out a lot. Very strange. By the way, Glenn Grothman sat one seat away from me on a Southwest flight and he had a distinct mothball whiff. You know what I'm saying? Like if there was a guy that was going to have a mothball whiff to him, Glenn Grothman's that dude, if you hear what I'm saying. Wes from Middleton also saying this. Honestly, Mags, every person the GOP seems to roll out makes me less nervous and more looking forward to the implosion that will ensue. They are not installing tactful, smart people. I think it's going to be more and more like 2017 when they suffered a failure to launch. No way these guys are smart enough to pull off their agenda. Yeah, but their strings are getting pulled by the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society and guys like the Koch brothers. May the one Koch brother rest in peace. Bill from Green Bay also saying Rudy Giuliani and from Chippewa Falls, both Johnsons. That's making me laugh. And of course, Don Jr., serious ick. Like, I don't get that same ick from Eric. Right? Like he just seems a little bit more messy, kind of out there, little like not the favored son, but Don Jr. with the slick back dude definitely gives me a bit of ick. Now he's not an elected official, but given his very public persona, I'll give him a good ick thumbs up. Yes, he qualifies. But folks, the thing I've been wanting to talk about with all of you is this information environment. I'm going to call it the information swamp. Or sewer. This is fourth on the list of factors or things that led to Donald Trump's reelection in 2024. Again, quick recap. Issue number one is existential angst that comes from the dismembering of the working middle class here in the United States. I promised you some other really interesting facts right before we went to the top of the hour break. Here they are. From 1948 to 1973, productivity in this country increased 97%. Now, the social contract is this. Workers work hard, we work more, we create more stuff. That means productivity is going up. We are creating more wealth. We're increasing the thing called gross domestic product, right? That's productivity. From 1948 to 1973, just shy of 30 years, productivity went up 97%. Now, the social contract is when the productivity of workers is going up, we expect to see real wages rising in rough proportion, right? If I'm becoming more productive and I'm creating an additional dollar of wealth for my boss, the company owner, the expectation would be that I would also see some real wage gain in proportion to, again, measured by percentage points, not a dollar for dollar, but in percentage points, I would expect to see my wages increasing, right? Like that is legitimately the social contract. 97% increase from 1948 to 1973 in productivity. Hourly wages, one metric of compensation for working people, over that same period, nearly 30 years, 1948 to 1973, went up 91%, right? Productivity up 97%, hourly wages up 91%. Aha, yes, good social contract. It's working. From 1973 to 2014, productivity went up 72%. And Cardi, most of my producers have hated it when I quiz them about little factoids on the air, but it's you're not getting graded. You can be wrong, and being wrong is sort of the rhetorical point here. So no pressure, my friend. All okay, right. So from 1973 to 2014, productivity increased 72%. My main man, Cardi, what is your guess as to the percentage increase in hourly wages over that same period of time? Again, for context, from 1948 to 1973, productivity up 97%, hourly wages up 91%. Now we're looking 1973 to 2014, productivity up 72%. My main man, Cardi, what is your guess as to the percentage increase in hourly wages over that same period?
I would say no change at all.
No change at all. Yeah. He is more cynical than most, but you're actually not far off, my friend. Hourly wages increased 9.2%. That is 9.2%, while productivity increased 72%. Folks, what that is, what we're hearing there in those statistics, that's your money trickling up to wealthy people like Eric Hovde. Yep. Yep. That is trickle-up economics. It's a real thing. Again, existential angst, messenger authenticity, all of the isms in a world and blaming all the people who have been historically less powerful than rich, landed, gentry, white dudes. And the info swamp sewer plus factor number five, false scarcity and selfishness, the idea that the world is zero sum. It is not. And accusing anybody who says we've got to treat each other with respect and kindness. We need to act and enact laws that preserve human dignity, that raise all of our wellnesses where we all do better together. Anything like that, that's called socialism. Doing the right thing is now being called in the information sewer socialism. By the way, it's not. It's called morality. But we'll get back to that. Here's where we're at in this information swamp. Where people get their news and information matters, okay? Because I don't care what study by what group you look at, there are more lies and misinformation on social media than in any mainstream legacy newspaper or other publication. And the reality is, which groups consume information from where matters. Would it surprise you to know that registered voters who voted for Joe Biden got 70% of their news from newspapers, while registered voters who voted for Donald Trump, only 21% of them get some news or their news from newspapers? 55% of those that voted for Joe Biden, Democrats, also get their news from national network news shows. It's only 35% of those that voted for Donald Trump. And here's where it gets real interesting, everybody. Cable news, you know, like Fox News and OAN and MSNBC. Only 45% of people who voted for Joe Biden got their news there, whereas 53% of Republicans did. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This ain't Texas.
I could use a little sugar thrown on me, something to brighten up this day. I mean, oh my God, Matt Gaetz is going to be Attorney General. Ew. Oh, folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the information swamp. Fact, there's more misinformation and lies on social media than there is in mainstream news outlets. Maybe that's why Republicans always complain about mainstream news outlets, because it's harder to lie on them. I mean, for real, though. And whether you break this down by registered voters and who they voted for, or you start looking at where younger people, basically, you can splice the demographics, right? You can look at this stuff on the basis of race, age cohorts, voting patterns, etc. And here are some interesting points. Obviously, we know that younger people read less news, right? They consume it on TikTok, Insta, Facebook, and of course, the dreaded platform formerly known as the Twitter. And that's an issue, right? Because what we haven't done in public education is taught people how to consume information in the new information swamp, right? When you couple that with confirmation bias, if you don't know what that is, I defined it last hour. You can find the previous hour and all of my prior shows at civicmedia.us/shows. And specifically my show at /Maggie Dawn Show. Confirmation bias plus getting more lies told to you means what? Right? Like 2 + 2 = 4 here. So social media has more lies and misinformation. Plus, we know that we're humans, and so we exist in a place where our brains will seek information that confirms our worldview and our beliefs. What does that equal? And we've got an algorithm that does just that all the time in all social media. All it's doing is feeding you the pellets. Press the button, get the pellet. Press the button, get the pellet. Press the button, get the pellet. That means that more of us, if you tend to consume your news on social media, are receiving a more steady stream of lies and misinformation that reaffirm our already existent beliefs and values, and we are less likely to see facts and truths that challenge our pre-existing ideas. That is really dangerous in a democracy, right? Isn't the whole point here to engage in great conversation like we do here on Civic Media and vigorous debate? Isn't that the point? And so this information swamp is making all of this worse. And again, the fact of the matter is the actual acting president of the United States come January of 2025 is Elon Musk. And it only takes, I used to say, 3 billionaires and a bad idea for the world to go kablooey. It's actually 2 billionaires, 1 billionaire, 1 alleged billionaire in the form of Elon Musk and Donald Trump to make the world go kablooey. This is scary. There is no Twitter equivalent on the left. There just isn't. Threads, you know, oh, Mark Zuckerberg has now bought a really fancy big old gold chain and is like letting his hair grow long and he started Threads. Well, no one's on Threads. I know some people are moving to a thing called Blue Sky, but the fact that I had to look up what that is sort of proves my point, right? Like most people, it's TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and the Twit, run by the Twit, who apparently has bought the entire apparatus of the U.S. government for the bargain basement price of $42 billion. I mean, that's what he bought when he bought Twitter, right? For real. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Here's what. The New York Times did a bit of a study, so has Pew Research Foundation. Younger men that are likely to vote for Republicans are increasingly getting their news from Reddit and YouTube. And basically, if you think of these are all private companies, right? We don't know what the algorithms are. We don't know what they're doing. Elon Musk can change them day over day to promote whatever content he wants to promote and to push down content he doesn't want amplified. We the public, do not have any transparency into how all of these platforms are running. That's scary, right? Like, well, they can just change it at whim. And they do. Elon Musk has. Oh, it's a free speech platform. Except if you're saying, you know, progressive things or supporting Kamala Harris, then I'm going to rewrite the algorithm to deep six your progressive take. Right? Like, that's actually what is happening. Jack from Merrimack, you have some thoughts, sir. Go ahead, Jack. You're there.
Oh, I'm sorry. The constant lying is nothing new. It's been going on at least since 2015, the first time Trump ran. And I've been doing some readings by a woman by the name of Hannah Arendt. She's a German-American historian. She studied the Nazis extensively. And I'd like to give you two quotes which are quite appropriate to what you're saying. And the first one is, this constant lying is not aimed at making people believe the lie, but to ensure that no one believes anything anymore. But the second one is the real kicker. The ideal subject of a totalitarian rule is not the convinced Nazi, but it's people for whom the distinction between fact and fiction, true and false, no longer exists. And that's what the purpose of this Republican MAGA propaganda machine is for.
Could not agree with you more, Jack. I'm going to share some writings from some of these other thinkers, some going back decades on this very topic. I'm going to jump to one of those right now, but in just a second, I just wanted to make this point. One of the things that makes the information swamp possible is the utter collapse of local news sources like Civic Media. Hooray for us today is what I shall say. Be sure to share Civic Media with all your friends. We're going to take care of some business. Come right on back. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Keep it locked. It's a real life boogie and a real life hold down. Don't be a bitch. Come take it to the floor. I'll be damned if I cannot dance with you. Come pour some liquor on me, honey, too. It's a real life boogie and a real life hold down. Don't be a... Come take it to the floor now. Take it to the floor now.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is a fast... We've been talking about the information swamp. And part of what's made this possible, of course, is the decimation of local news outlets. We've lost one third of our local newspapers in this country. We've lost 60% of all news reporters. Local news reporters. And studies have shown that the contraction of local news created a vacuum. And that has been filled with partisan news sources, as well as social media, of course. And both partisan news sources and social media both do these two things. They're more likely to spread lies and misinformation. I don't care if your party's Democrat or Republican, if it's highly partisan, it's more likely to spread lies and misinformation. And secondly, when you consume information from partisan sources and from social media, it is much more likely to reinforce your pre-existing beliefs and worldview. Here's a fascinating text about this from a 414 texter. All the media is owned and run by Democrats. We, assuming he means Republicans, have one station, Fox. So all the lying that we hear is coming from Democrats. I'm going to respectfully say to my friend from the 414, why don't you look some stuff up? Fox, quote unquote, news just paid $800 million to Dominion Voting Systems, for crying out loud. Why? Because they allowed their broadcasters to get on the air and repeatedly lie when they knew it was false It was intentional, knowing lies about Dominion voting systems and our 2020 election. $800 million. They still haven't settled with, I forget what it was called, with Smart Tech or whatever the other voting machine company is. That lawsuit is ongoing. I'm sorry to my 414 texter, you're wrong. That media empire owned by Murdoch? Murdoch is an arch conservative. What are you even talking about? And if you think that's true, I'd like you to name me one so-called, quote, liberal outfit, liberal news organization that's had to write a check for nearly $1 billion for knowing lies about the functioning of our democracy. You can't do it. That level of just intentional, unrelenting, willful ignorance on your part, sir or ma'am, is part of the problem. And if you think only one side lies, what planet are you on? I mean, for real though. And again, I'm going to go back to my rubric about lies. I can readily say politicians from both parties lie. All politicians at some point in time lie. But I ask you to go a level deeper. Come on. You want to think you're a big thinker, that you know stuff? Well, cool. Then look at the lie and decide, what is its impact and purpose? What is its acuity level? And what is the result that will come from this lie? Come on. And to be clear about it, Fox News, the word news stays in their name. Their defense in that lawsuit was no one actually believed anything we're saying. But you do. Come on. It's just, it's very frustrating to me because it's like, I'm going to continue to vote against my self-interest, let Donald Trump give billionaires tax cuts while the middle class pays for more and more, as we gut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, as we set up concentration camps. And you want to talk to me about all the media is democratic. I broke up with a dude for saying that nonsense to me. I was like, that's it. We got to go. And by the way, people, the individuals that own these companies like Rupert Murdoch and other media outlets, when they're individually owned by these billionaires, here's what I'll tell you about billionaires. Amoral. They ain't Democrats or Republicans, I'll tell you that much. They're situationally transactional. I don't want to even say situation. They employ a situational ethics. Their ethics is whatever gets me more money and power. Money is only good so far as it allows you to buy things, right? That's what it is. And when you have everything that you could ever want, and you have so much money that there's no one in your family that wants for anything, there's nothing left to consume. What does money consume? Power. So let's not go down this stupid, lame rabbit hole about it's all liberal media. Do you fact check your own people on Fox? Again, I would like to know from the texter from the 414, name me one so-called liberal media company that has written a check for $800 million for knowing and intentional lies spread on their network and then tried to defend the lies by saying, people are smart enough to not believe what we're saying when they know that's exactly untrue. Listen, if I don't get to the list of appointees today, don't worry. We'll cover it tomorrow with Tom Paulswitz as my special guest host, because this is so important. This is our information swamp. We're in it. It's information warfare. We are through the looking glass. John from Milwaukee, you've been incredibly patient. Your thoughts this afternoon, sir. Thank you.
Hello there. You just proved the 414's point. And if I may, you're calling where Trump's going to put people in concentration camps. You just proved his point. You cannot see the forest for the trees.
Well, tell me what it is then, John. Tell me what it is. If we're going to deport 12 million people, how are they going to do that?
Hey, don't jump from question to question. You asked the question, and I'm telling you the equation.
Okay, so John, I'm going to remind you of the three rules when you are a caller and you wish to debate Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show. The three rules are do not deflect, do not spread misinformation, and do not discriminate. You said that what I was saying, excuse me, sir, hang on. You said that my statement that Donald Trump is considering building concentration camps to execute his promised deportation of 12 million people is untrue. And I'm asking you, how then is he going to deport 12 million people?
I will answer your question about the concentration camp. You asked who is lying. You are a liar. You proved the 414.
Okay, John, if you can't actually engage with me about the very subject matter or give me substance to talk to you about, we're not actually having a discussion. You're just calling me names.
No, I proved that you are the problem.
No, you didn't, sir. Like, can we roll the tapes, man? I mean, holy cow, that's the problem. You can't even hear yourself. You just want to call me a liar. Come on, man. Like, calling people names ain't an argument. It's what people do when they've lost an argument. Shame on you. Act like a grown-up, and if you want to have a debate with me, call me up and debate me with some actual information. Don't just call me up so you can feel better because you called me a liar on the radio. I've been called much worse. I'm sure I will again. Now, let's talk about some of these philosophers and writers that have anticipated this very moment that we are in, right? Let's talk about it. Clayton Christensen, he's a professor at Harvard Business School, coined a term called the technology mudslide hypothesis. And it basically is talking about the fact that these technological advancements have sort of overcome institutions. And one of these technological advancements, of course, is social media. It is creating the information swamp, this information environment. I mean, we remember back in the day where we didn't know the words like information warfare or like misinformation and disinformation. Those are newly added to our lexicon. And there's a reason they are. Oh, also this word, I love this word, micro-targeting. They literally have scraped so much data from you that they know what you're going to buy before you buy it. By the way, this morning, folks, here's what I spent about an hour of my time doing. I went through every single app that I have on my iPhone and looked at the data scraping and tried to lock down my privacy settings. I suggest we all do that. Maria Ressa, she's a Nobel Prize-winning Filipino journalist. In the Philippines, their government is modeled after the United States. And she writes about when President Duterte controlled all three branches of it. If you don't know, like, this guy's craziness, you should check it out. She wrote this, quote, "It took 6 months after Duterte took office for our institutions to crumble." By the way, after she wrote that, she was arrested. When you start arresting journalists and you start calling people names and saying you're the enemy is within, that is a problem. Right? Come on. Steve Bannon once said this, "Politics is downstream from culture." And elections are now downstream from white men talking on platforms that white men built, juiced by invisible algorithms, also written largely by white men. It's, by some accounts, a, quote, broligarchy, if you will. Check that. A broligarchy. This is our culture now. By the way, I'm getting another one of my other favorite conservative texters saying, see what happens when someone tries to have a decent discussion with you, Maggie? You talk over that person and then kick them off. The three rules are, again, don't deflect. In other words, let's engage with the actual subject matter, right? Don't disinform and don't discriminate. Calling me a liar is a version of discrimination, right? By that, I mean, is basically saying chicks are dumb. Stupid. And by the way, I did try to get him to actually discuss the thing. He just kept saying, you're a liar, and that's not true. That's not an actual debate. So check your own self. So those are a couple thinkers on these things, including Steve Bannon. You know, if you're on the right, you like a little Steve Bannon. Here's another one. Yale professor Timothy Snyder, in his book On Tyranny, wrote this, quote, most of the power of authoritarianism is freely given. In times like these, individuals think ahead about what a more repressive government will want and then offer themselves without being asked. A citizen who adapts in this way is teaching power what it can do. By the way, one of those so-called libs that has $1 billion+ that owns the Washington Post did just that. That anticipatory obedience by calling me up and calling me a liar and refusing to actually have the conversation. Guess what you're doing? Anticipatory obedience. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're going to get the rest of your texts and phone calls. I'm going to drop a couple more philosophers on you because it's so important. We are in the information swamp, but civic media fights it every day with real news and great conversation. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I love having these conversations with y'all, even when I disagree, because that's what it is about. Check this. Neil Postman, 40 years ago, wrote a book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And here's what he wrote. When a population becomes distracted by trivia, when cultural life is redefined as a perpetual round of entertainments, when serious conversation becomes a form of baby talk, when, in short, people become an audience and their public business a vaudeville act, then a nation finds itself at risk. Culture death is a clear possibility. Y'all, we're there. I've heard some people bring up George Orwell's 1984. But a lot of people have pointed to Aldous Huxley's Brave New World as truly the barometer. Here is Postman writing about this. Alongside Orwell's dark vision, there was another slightly older, slightly less well known, but equally chilling vision. Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Contrary to common belief, even among the educated, Huxley and Orwell did not prophesy the same thing. Orwell warns that we will become overcome by an externally imposed oppression. But in Huxley's vision, no big brother is required to deprive people of their autonomy, maturity, and history. As he saw it, people will come to love their oppression, to adore the technologies that undo their very capacity to think. What Orwell feared were those who would ban books. What Huxley feared was that there would be no reason to ban a book because there would be no one who wanted to read one. Orwell feared those who would deprive us of information, but Huxley feared those who would give us so much information that we would be reduced to passivity and egoism. Orwell feared that the truth would be concealed from us, but Huxley feared the truth would be drowned in a sea of irrelevance. Orwell feared we would become a captive culture, but Huxley feared we would become a trivial culture, preoccupied with some equivalent of the feelies, the orgy-porgy, the centrifugal bumble puppy. As Huxley remarked in Brave New World Revisited, the civil libertarian and rationalists are ever on the alert for tyranny, but they have failed to take into account man's almost infinite appetite for distractions. In 1984, Orwell added, people are controlled by inflicting pain. But in a brave new world, people are controlled by inflicting pleasure. In short, Orwell feared that what we fear will ruin us. But Huxley feared that what we desire will ruin us. This is where we stand today. Josh from Wausau, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Hey, Josh, you there? You're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yep, I'm here. So you brought up several good points, and one that I've been wondering ever since the election was Donald Trump's favorite media outlet is Faux News, but Fox. But are you guys at Civic Media worried that you might be in his crosshairs because you are so openly anti him? God knows I love the fact that you are, but are you guys worried that you might be in his crosshairs?
I have a message for Donald Trump. Bring it. Thanks, Josh from Wausau. Jean from Eau Claire, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Well, hello, and thanks for the great show as usual. And you give more people a chance to express themselves than anyone that I've listened to yet. So, you know, I think some of these males have been empowered by the great abuser in chief to go after women, and it's getting a little bit stale fast. As an older woman, I lived through this in my early years of the way men treated women. You better watch out, because we're not going to take it. So you guys better start looking at your own behaviors here.
Yep, I totally agree with you. And a texter just reminded of the thing I forgot to mention when I was talking about the decimation of local objective journalism. Y'all, go Google Sinclair News. Read about it. It is very, very scary. Jeff from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
It's Jesse from Madison. The screener missed it. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call. Couple of things. One, I was always taught Orwell and Huxley were describing what they saw around them in the common day, and they just put it in the future so people could have a spoonful of sugar to take the medicine to go down. What I was going to say was about your comment about people preparing themselves for obedience. You know, just seeing the news a little bit ago that Trump picked Matt Gaetz of all odious people as his attorney general pick, I got to think, my first thought is, wow, that might be the only Republican that would have trouble getting through the Senate. And then I thought, that's exactly the point. It's nothing to do with Gaetz. This is just a litmus test. Trump picked the one person who's probably, of all Republicans, hated most by the Republican Congressional Caucus. This is just to see who would say no, even if the most, who would say yes, even if the most odious person that they could imagine was put in front of them. This is just a litmus test.
Jeff, my man, it's where I was going with all the appointments, but Matt Gaetz right now is the cherry on top. Sunday, courtesy of Donald J. Trump. Folks, Jim from Richland Letter, I'm so, so sorry I didn't get to you. Folks on the text line, I'm sorry if I didn't get to your comments. Anybody else on the call line, sorry I didn't get there. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together against the idiocracy. Dom Salvia is up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.